Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hi, and welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm your co-host, Jeannie Rice. We also have Dr. Tim Hayes with us. And we welcome you to the show. Today is Wednesday, July the 15th, 2015. I'm going to mute you for a minute, Michael. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us. And we would love to hear your comments and your questions, because then that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and you might need to back off your microphone just a little bit. Your voice was over-modulating a little, and we welcome everybody and appreciate everybody who chooses to join us every day that you choose to join us in the pursuit of living true, honest, open, alive human lives. That is, living in the world as we're designed to live, as the active presence of love. So that's our task. That's where we're heading with this work of forgiveness. And one of the things that we're getting ready to do is to open a Laws of Living class, and that's going to start on the 24th. It'll be a 16-day residential intensive here at Heartland. And when we look at Laws of Living, you know, a lot of people have been trained through the culture that law is the rule of some kind of a superior, and that superior wants you to be obedient or you're in trouble. We're here to reverse that idea. We're here to tell you that the actual laws of the universe require no obedience. There's no authority that wants something from you or demands something from you. That's all a fraud to keep people in fear. Fear for a human being is the first violation of the law. Because when one is not living in relationship with who they are, which is love, they violated the relationship with the eternal forces in the universe. So law is about living in relationship to the eternal forces that govern and flow through the universe and simply operate. A good example is we have a law we call the law of gravity. You know, the law of gravity has never punished anyone, though many people, when they fall down a cliff, get broken bones. Has gravity punished them? No. The law just operates. Gravity doesn't care. Gravity does not bend to your will or your wishes. It just happens. And so it is with all the laws of the universe. When we function out of hostility and fear, which are the energies unlike our human nature, we violate the laws of living. And when we violate the laws of living, just like when somebody steps off a cliff, there's a result. And the result isn't pleasant. The result isn't happy. The result isn't productive. It's not something that you want to live with. So when you look at the idea of law in the Aramaic, what you see is that there are eternal forces. And if you understand how those forces operate, live in conscious relationship with them, harmonize with them, everything tends to go well. Nobody has ever violated law. We talk about breaking laws. Well, that's when kings come in and kings make rules, and yes, you can break the king's rule, but you can't break law. Nobody has ever broken the law of gravity. Well, Michael, certainly they have airplanes fly. They're heavier than air, so therefore they must have broken the law of gravity. No, there's been no violation of the law of gravity whatsoever when a heavier-than-air machine flies. One who understands and has a conscious relationship with the law of gravity can build a machine that will fly because they've harmonized with the law of gravity, not because they violated it. You can't violate the law of gravity. If you build a machine that does not harmonize with the law of gravity and try to fly it, and it does not honor the law of gravity, it's going to crash. If you try to build a life that does not honor the law of love, then life crashes. And men have got it all made up about how it's somebody else's fault. You know, the old denial game that we've talked about so often. Denial is the act of thinking or speaking as though something outside of me is the cause of something inside of me. So somebody who violates the law ends up experiencing a consequence, i.e. laying at the bottom of the cliff with bones broken, cancel the thought. And when they do, they look up to the sky and say, well, somebody must have punished me for this. I'll make up a punisher who's out to get me. And then I'll create all kinds of stories about this punisher. And now we have man's theological monstrosity called God. No such creature exists. The creator is love. That is all. If you've been taught something different, you've been taught a lie. Therefore, you have violated the law. And when you do, notice your life crashes. It hurts. It's painful. It hurts physically. It hurts mentally. It hurts emotionally. In our dream lives, we hurt, we experience pain because we're out of harmony with the law of love. Nothing to do with the creator's going to punish us for it. It's just how the energy system works. When you look into the ancient Aramaic and the whole Laws of Living course is based in the Aramaic idea of law, you see that there are laws for, that is, there are eternal forces that operate in the arena of, for instance, growing food and handling your fields. If you don't harmonize with the way those energy forces work, then your food will not have nutrition. You'll starve and end up with horrible diseases. You'll go back and you'll see a story in the ancient scriptures where this man marries 10 wives and all 10 wives bake him a loaf of bread. And he eats the bread and he starves to death. Why? Because they did not honor the laws by which to manage your fields and your food growing. And if you don't honor it, then what happens is, just like in our culture today, you end up with nutrition-free food. You'll see the degenerative diseases in our culture just growing imagination. And why are these degenerative diseases growing beyond imagination? Because in every area, every arena, we've been taught to live out of harmony with law. We've been taught to do greed and rage and guilt and war and fear. And when we do, we wonder why, when we violate the law of love, we end up with horrible diseases being visited upon us, and we make up somebody who did it to us, as opposed to seeing that we've just fallen out of harmony with how the energy system works. You have no say in how the energy system works. You have a lot of say in what happens to you. But, for instance, if you decide you don't like the law of gravity, you can't say, well, you know, tonight I'm going to go to bed and I'm going to sleep, and in the morning I'm going to decree that when I get up, my feet will go to the ceiling. Gravity will laugh at you. If you violate the law of love and you live in hate and fear and anger and viciousness, and up comes your rage, but you hide it as quickly as you can and you pretend it's somebody else's fault, you violated the law of love. There is going to be a result. There's going to be a consequence. It's kind of like stepping off the cliff. Bones break. Pain happens. And yet we've made up a whole world of physical disease and physical disorder and our pains caused by this thing that attacked us, rather than recognizing that we're simply out of harmony with the way the energy system works. And once we step back into harmony with how the energy system works, the energy system works for us always. Always, always. I was talking to someone this morning, and they were asking me about certain drug effects, and I said, well, gee, you know, I just don't know about that because I don't do any drugs, you know, and I haven't in decades and decades and decades. I was raised on them. I lived my first 25 years on an inhalator and pills, and I realized it was killing me. I was out of harmony with law. And then I started to understand how they work. I come from a family system. When I was a kid, I was the sick one. My siblings were all healthy and never rarely experienced illness. I was sick all the time. Well, here we are a few decades later, and each of my siblings have experienced some pretty severe degenerative diseases and lived lives on pills and drugs. And here I am, the sick one in the family, and I don't do them. I don't engage in them. They don't belong in the human system. They are a violation of law. They're not the things that support the human energy system. So when you make it your business to study how the energy system works and really decode the keys in it, everything starts to shift and everything starts to change. So we're here to support that shift and that change. And that's what our Laws of Living course will be about. And we are so delighted. And maybe Susan happens to be on the line if she wanted to push one and say hello. But Susan Darnell is a young lady who came to Heartland 3 years ago and did an intensive and then came back and did Laws of Living and then came back once again with the idea of doing Laws of Living with a view toward teaching it. She went home and set up her first class. That was last summer, and she's now getting ready to teach her fourth Laws of Living class. Pretty awesome what she's done with it. She's creating herself quite a nice income stream, working with and making constructive changes in her community. And she has people now, after having completed three Laws of Living courses, she's in Wilmington, North Carolina. If you happen to be there, connect with her if you want to do Laws of Living. She's getting ready to do another 8-week series, but she's got people in the community who are seeing the changes in the people around them that take the course that are coming to her saying, hey, I want to get in on that course. How do I do it? And we are blessed because she's going to come and co-teach Laws of Living with us starting on the 24th of July. It'll go through August the 8th. And so we are appreciative of that. Does Susan happen to be on the line, Jeannie?
She just sent me a text and said she's working today, but she can call in Thursday or Friday.
Oh, cool. Awesome. Very cool. Well, that's where we're heading, and our goal is to completely, totally understand how this energy system works and live in the energy system as human beings, as this awesome presence of love that we're designed to be. And so we welcome you to the interaction, and if you have a thought or question for us, if you're on one of those stations where we can't see you in our control panel, you can call the number 646-200-4169 and press 1, and that'll put you in queue to ask a question. And, of course, you can go to our website, whyagain.org, and there's a link there to listen to the radio show on your computer. And there's an easy process to go through to register in the chat room. Unfortunately, because of Blog Talk's rules, you can't talk in the chat room. You can only listen. If you register with them, which is a simple, I think they just want your email address, basically, and they keep it totally private, then you can interact in the chat room and ask questions and such. So let's say hello to Dr. Tim. I know Dr. Tim had a support group last night, as did we. And let's see what Dr. Tim's got to say. Hey, young man, how are you?
Hello, hello. I'm doing well, thank you. I'm thrilled to have another Wednesday where I'm just still running on the energy from Tuesday night's support group. We had a lovely gathering of 12 people plus me, and the second half of On Creating Consciously. And as I mentioned last week, that first half of that video really stirred a lot of things for people, and several people said it's their best one ever. And they got a lot more out of it last time we saw it than they had in previous viewings of it. And, of course, in the second half of that DVD, you do a visualization where you invite people to look at the different levels of from poverty to abundance, from never enough to day late and dollar short to just enough to abundance. And that really stirred up a lot for people as the questions came up about the process and what they saw and what to do with it. We answered those questions, and one person in particular had the issue of all he could come up with was his thought, but he didn't know what the trigger was, he didn't know what the emotion was, didn't know what the goal was. So we had him start his worksheet right there, and by backing into the worksheet, as Jeannie calls it, going down to the slot where he wrote down his thought, and his thought was that, you know, he was the youngest in the family and this always happened to him, etc. And then he was able to go back up focusing on that thought and realize if he thinks that thought long enough, what emotion comes to mind? What does he start to feel emotionally? And he filled that in, and he was able to do the rest of his worksheet. And that's always useful for people to see that my process doesn't always follow the simple format of the worksheet, and I can use whatever I'm conscious of in the moment as the beginning point for my worksheet process, and then back up or go forward and fill in all the blanks. And then we had a person who had something else triggered, and she agreed to do a worksheet, and it was a very powerful worksheet for her that went back to a lot of things in her past that was other events as an adult and other events as a child, and stirred up a lot of fear and sadness. And she was able to identify multiple worksheets that she needed to do going forward to get further clarity on that issue. And it was just a delightful group, as is every Tuesday. And my great delight to be able to be a part of that loving group. So that's my offering.
Awesome. Well, maybe we could let people know that that group meets every Tuesday evening at Unity in Woodstock, Illinois. And you're the facilitator of that. And then in Crystal Lake at your office, you meet on Thursday nights for the second support group, correct?
Yep. From 6:30 to 9, both nights, Tuesday and Thursday. And my office in Crystal Lake, and you can find that on my website, and the Unity Church in Woodstock, and that's unitywoodstock.org. And it's just, as I say, every time we bring this up, it is just one of the highlights of my week, and now it's two highlights in my week to be able to facilitate support groups of this work because of the personal benefit I get and because of my delight in being surrounded with all those loving people and their loving energy.
Cool. Fabulous. Well, anything else to share before we check the phone lines?
I'm complete.
All right. Fabulous. Well, mucho gusto. Mucho gracias for what you do in the world with folks. The contribution is huge, and everybody who chooses to take an action to support and bring forward the work just is deeply, deeply appreciated. And it's always interesting to trust the process and see where it's going to go next and what opens and what's in store at the next level. So thank you for what you do. And Jeannie, do we have anybody in the chat room with a comment that we might want to be aware of, or anyone
everybody
with a hand up in the phone queue?
Everybody in the chat room is guests, so they can't write, and there's no hands up. However, there was a question left over from yesterday out of the chat room. Oh, a hand just went up, so let's catch and see. It possibly might be the same person I was just getting ready to ask the question of. This is an 828 area code. Who do we have? 828.
Jeannie?
You're on,
yes.
You're on the air.
Hey, it's Terry.
Well, hey there, Terry. Welcome, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
How do you be? What's exciting in your world?
Oh, everything's exciting. Everything's exciting, Michael. It's really good, just the way that life unfolds. I caught a little bit of Tim's comments there, and I was able to break out for a minute here and wanted to get in on this good stuff for a little bit.
Fabulous. Well, you got something to share with us? A question for us today? Yes. Yep. You're okay.
Yeah.
You're clear.
Yeah. Okay. So I shared with you, I had a little process around my worksheet, a worksheet this morning around some overwhelm, and then that uncovered another layer of fear, and then under that was the object of my attention was obligation, and how the obligations that I had set as goals for myself were driving the goal for me to, for the obligations to create a fulfillment, that I would be, become, it would fulfill me. That's what the goal was for the object of my attention, is that the obligations that I would take on, that by achieving, if I just did enough, if we share from time to time, if I can just do enough, juggle enough balls and keep everything going, then I'll feel complete and fulfilled. And what was a really, really nice piece about it is that it hooked me right back into taking total responsibility for my life. Whereas who is the one that's setting all these goals, creating these obligations? Just that aspect of my mind that thinks that it's going to find an answer somewhere where it's not. So that little process was fantastic. And one of the things I've wanted to share about the group process is that a lot of times folks will, in my perception, get caught up in that the work is like some all to do all kind of thing. And I recall you sharing, Michael, that you can't possibly do enough worksheets to clear out everything that we're holding in this database. You know, and the goal of the worksheet is to stir up. And the goal of our workshops and tenses and our networks and combining our energies is to stir this stuff up so that we can get into the step into the breath, which is our super processor, and just burns all that stuff off. And it doesn't involve the mind. So the mind wants to get in the way, figure it out, and control it, and all that kind of stuff. So I wanted to hear you share a little bit about that, about the stirring it up and how that process helps us to move into that super processor release and burning off of the breath modality.
Cool. Well, as you said, we had a conversation earlier this morning, and I had specifically asked Terry if he'd call in because it seems that Terry's process usually stirs things for people when he does call in a very positive way. And a couple of reasons why I asked you to do that is, of course, the world's message is if you can just do enough, so we tend to become human doings. And one of the things that you expressed was that this worksheet that you did this morning was perhaps one of the more important worksheets that you've done since you started doing this work.
Exactly. I said it was in my top 10.
So top 10. If you were to just do a quick estimate in the time frame that you've been involved in the work, how many worksheets would you say you've done? Just a quick guess.
Over 4,000.
Okay. So, and the reason I ask that question is so that people who are starting out who go, oh, I don't know if I want to, why should I bother, gee, I should have this all figured out already, this has to happen yesterday, to let people know that it's a process, and here you are, you know, several years into your work, at least 4,000 worksheets, and can you get one of your big pieces of the puzzle? And that's, I think, can be really inspiring for people who are wondering why they're doing worksheets on seemingly mundane things. And sometimes the mundane worksheet is what collapses the underlying piece so that the bigger issue can come to the surface.
Exactly. an analogy that a lady that was mentoring him, getting some of my paintings out to the world, and I was looking at my paintings. You know, I paint and I'll do a series of paintings, and I want every one to be a masterpiece. And she said, sometimes you just got to paint those bad ones and get them out of the way so you can move on to the good work. I was like, oh, wow, I set myself free. So I could just do anything I wanted then. I set myself free, and I do it in the work, in the support group where I'll take a worksheet, and I'll just scribble on it, punch holes in it, ball it up, throw it in the floor, and say, you know what, that's my worksheet. And I said, I've been in that place a lot of times, and that counts as my worksheet. That's one of my worksheets, and it counts. And it's not, and you can call it, you know, it's not right or proper or whatever. Let go of that. And most of the worksheets, the majority of the worksheets that I've done, if I ask my analytical mind to chime in and give me a grade on it, it would be, you know, it would be a substandard grade because, oh, you didn't do that right. It's like, but that's irrelevant. That's the mind chatter, you know. The goal is is to continue through the process and get to that painting that is a masterpiece, or that worksheet that just cracks open, and then you go into that next level, and I'm calling you, and I feel like my brain's being ripped out because all this stuff's getting cleared up and cleaned out, and it's like, yeah, baby, that's what it's about.
That's what it's about. I can tell you're not excited at all.
No, it's, yeah. When I get into that flow and that groove and I'm tapped into it, but it just rolls right out. It's like, ooh, this is the stuff, and that's why I'm still here.
I understand. And I think it's a really good point to make that, you know, if you don't intellectually understand every step in the worksheet, you go, I don't even know how to do this. Okay, fine. Do what you do know how to do with it and move on, move forward. And what will happen is that the lack of clarity in the mind will clear itself up because the mind's just shooting in its chatter. You know, oftentimes one of the most basic messages, especially if we've got to do everything right and everything perfectly, one of the most basic messages we got from our power person is, if you don't do it perfectly, then you're in trouble. Or you're not going to be accepted. You're not going to be loved. What were all the messages? And so
you're not worthy.
People compulsively become human doings. And that's the mind chatter that you're talking about that needs to be let go of.
Yeah.
And underneath that mind chatter is where the rage and the fear reside.
Exactly. That's where it's all hiding out at.
And that's the part where I hear you say, go ahead.
Yeah, and for me, four of the most important components of the worksheet are the fact that I read the definition of reality management, I read the definition of forgiveness, and I read the title block in the center, and I check those. There's no checkbox there, but I check them anyway because I want to keep planting that seed, building that reality and constructing that program in my mind. And then that box where I check, I release my need to be right. Because I do that over and over and over and over and over and over. And I remember waking up there in Heartland one day and I thought, okay, it's not being mind 49 and it's love 51. You know what I'm saying? It's like we crossed that middle threshold where we got a little traction there. We finally made it over that halfway mark, and it was keyly directly related to the number of times I checked that box, and I willingly agreed to experience all the symptoms of healing, and I willingly agreed to let go of my need to be right. And I willingly agreed to look at a new definition of forgiveness and reality.
Awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Awesome. The shift in your energy, the enthusiasm in your voice is just, you know, the restoration to enthusiasm. You know, you recognize and you look at the chart. If anybody wants to look at the chart on the website, you can go to whyagain.org and click on the bullseye. You might have to roll down a little bit, scroll down to the bullseye, click, and look down the list, and you'll see the physiological effects of emotional suppression. And you'll see that we start out as love, you know, that's the newborn. And that means that we live in enthusiasm, exactly what we're hearing in Terry's voice right now.
Yeah.
And for me, it's getting back to that enthusiasm. You know, people will say to me when they see me do the Y workshop, it's like, well, you're so enthusiastic about that. I mean, I've heard you've been doing that workshop for 35 years, and you've done it three times in a day. Doesn't it get old? It's like, no, every time I teach it, it gets more exciting. It gets clearer. I get another piece of my puzzle. No, it is the most exciting thing in the world to me. And it just keeps opening that up. But if you look at the physiological effects, and there's actually a new chart. I don't know if you've seen the new copy of that chart, but I guess it's last year, I went in and, you know, where we taught the physiological effects and what organs it affects, we added the piece in of the kind of thoughts that go along with it. And they're thoughts like you've just been talking about. Here I am in enthusiasm. And if I'm in enthusiasm and I have a parent standing there who's got repressed pain and I just let my energy out in enthusiasm, that boosts the energy of the parent. And what does the parent do? If my energy's boosted, I feel my pain, slap that kid down, shut that enthusiasm off. And when enthusiasm is shut off, when we're no longer in theos, living in love, in God, then there's pain. And then you'll notice that. And so the thought that goes along with, you know, the loss of enthusiasm is, what's wrong with me? You know, it's one of the most basic, one of the first thoughts that crawls into the system and that is activated out of our genetics is, what's wrong with me? And then, of course, when I have that loss of enthusiasm, that loss of the connectedness to love, there's pain. And when there's pain, of course, I'm sure nobody else ever heard this line in their childhood. I only heard it once or twice. If you don't stop that crying, I'll give you something to cry for. Anybody ever hear that one? What is that? You're not even allowed to experience your pain. And so thoughts that go along with that one are, well, you know, if I'm in pain, then I'm disapproved of. And there's still something even deeper wrong with me. I'm not, if I feel pain, I'm going to get hurt. And so that fear of being hurt, and so we trace that the whole process of shutting down from enthusiasm, and when the enthusiasm shuts down, the pineal gland shuts down. If the energy's locked into the pineal gland, it starts to shut the pineal gland down. When pain is shut down, it starts to lock down the pituitary. It just goes right down the list until, you know, the end result is the ritual of death in our culture. And, of course, the awakening and the healing is exactly what you're talking about, Terry, and coming back to that enthusiasm, which means you get to look at the thoughts of, what's wrong with me? Oh, well, I was supposed to be a human doing. If I do enough, then I'll be good enough. I mean, it just all ties together very, very powerfully, and to recognize, as you pointed out, Terry, that we don't have to do this on our own. There is a power in us that in Aramaic was called Ruach HaKodesh, that is literally a feminine elemental force, an actual elemental force in us that undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth. If you go back into the Aramaic, you can study a little bit in the Greek and get some sense of this idea of this elemental force. But you'll remember that Yeshua is talking to one of the elders from the temple, and he's telling him about this super process that exists in us, this elemental force that will assist us. And the elder from the temple says, well, I don't even know what you're talking. What are you talking about? And Yeshua says, what, you, one of the elders, you don't know this? Are you kidding me? And so what Yeshua does in order to get him to some level of understanding of the elemental force that is specifically designed for humans, that by definition in Aramaic undoes the effects of our errors and teaches us the truth, when our own pea brain isn't big enough in terms of its processing capacity to clean out those layers and those levels, there's a power in us, an elemental force that Yeshua was teaching about. And you remember in that situation with the man from the temple, he turns to an example of another elemental force. Earth, air, fire, and water are elemental forces. Wind. And so he talks to him about the wind, and he says, you know that the wind came from somewhere, you know it went somewhere, but you don't know what it is, you only know it by the effects it creates. When we pay attention, there is an elemental force in us that is intimately connected with the breath. And when we breathe in the presence of those traumatic energies that were genetically activated in us by our environment, and environmentally present and imposed on us, and we didn't know how to refuse them, the tendency is to lock down that elemental force, to lock down the breath and shut it off. And that's what creates this artificial barrier where we have this whole unconscious dynamic that happens. And my thesis, Terry, is that an unconscious mind is a totally unnatural thing. And, you know, it's pretty common knowledge in the culture that probably at least 95% of our mental processes are unconscious. That's how long we've been in denial, dissociation, and hiding things from ourselves. And so why does it take years of work to come out the other side? Well, if you recognize that 5%, you know, it's just like the iceberg, you get to see 5% of the iceberg and the rest of it's hidden. When you realize, and in the Aramaic, there's a suffix that indicates unconscious processes are in control. When they add uta to a word, that means that there's something from the unconscious that's impacting perception, decisions, and behavior. And it's hidden material. And what you're talking about and the enthusiasm that I hear in you is, I just got another piece of my puzzle. I thought I had to be a human doing. I thought I had to do in order to be fulfilled. And that's like, that's a huge opening and a huge piece in the process. It's awesome. And the return to enthusiasm is just monumental.
The less I do, the more I be.
Yay. And then, out of being, you choose to do something. But you're not a human doing, you're a being who chooses to do something. You know, it doesn't mean that we're, you know, there are some people who say, well, you know, now I just sit back and I do nothing, I just become kind of a vegetable. It isn't about that. We can be full of activity in the world, but the activity comes from being. It doesn't come from compulsive, unconscious doing. You know, the unconscious dynamic of, well, if I do it good enough, then I'll be approved of, then I'll survive. A lot of this is about survival. If I don't do it right, I won't survive. I'll die. Mm-hmm. And when that's in those uta brain cells and resonated by a situation, yeah, how quickly can people pop into rage when they are terrorized into thinking if they don't do it right, they're going to die? Do you want to talk about why people would scream out at somebody in rage? There it is. And yet, what does the average person do after they scream out in rage? Well, you know, I'm doing just fine. It's your fault. The reason I did that, it's got nothing to do with me. If you would just straighten out your act, then I would never have to rage again. And the whole projection came. You know, the whole thing just steps in. And literally, what we're doing is undoing generations of those dynamics. You know, that story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. How do you get lost in a 30-square-mile area for 40 years? It wasn't about a hot, sandy place. It was about the unconscious dynamics of the generations and survival, the pain of, what do I have to do to survive? You know, think about your father. Think about your mother. What did they have to do to survive? And notice that that energy is born and bred in you. Think about your grandmother and your grandfather on your dad's side, your grandmother and your grandfather on your mother's side. What did they have to do to just survive, just to have a meal and a roof over their heads and feed their kids? What did they have to do? What kind of things have our generations gone through? And all of those things are born and bred in us. And the opening and the forgiving of those things is such a key to coming back to the light of being and being fueled and powered by that light rather than that light being put out, being hidden under the bushel basket of hostility, fear, and doing. Rage, guilt, grief, hate, vengeance, the things that drive people to insanity. So I acknowledge you for your work, my friend. It's pretty awesome when I think back to day one and some of the stuff you'd gone through and were going through. It's pretty awesome to be able to have this conversation with you. I just, you know, it's so fabulous to, you know, hear Dr. Tim, to hear Michelle, to hear Jeannie, to hear the folks Rex come in and Tony, you know, people coming in with having done the work and come in with their conversations and their insight and sourcing the understanding in their unique way, and the questions that each of us develops and shares with each other, and what a gift that is, that we've got a community of people that are doing this this work together is amazing. Maybe Dr. Tim might have a thought or two for you, too. Let's check in with Dr. Tim.
You know, I thought as I put this food in my mouth, I bet Michael goes to me right now.
I'll tell you what, let me ask Jeannie if she has any thoughts, so you get to chew your spoon of food, and we'll see what Jeannie says. My apology. Timing is everything, right, Tim?
Thank you.
Jeannie, do you have any thoughts for Terry and the whole conversation?
I'm just thrilled for him. He's the few years that I've known you and to see how you've grown and just blossomed, and it's awesome and exciting to hear from you, Terry. So thank you so much for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Pretty powerful.
Well, what I would like to say now that my mouth is empty is that...
I hope it's a good lunch.
Yeah, it's the raw cooked kale recipe with Bragg's sesame garlic dressing. I made a big batch of the raw cooked kale to take and share with a group who was going to listen to an Abraham talk on Friday. And instead, my 25-year-old nephew came into town, so I spent the day with him. So now all week long I'm feasting on raw cooked kale.
Awesome.
The recipe is available in the Recipes book, and I love it.
It's an awesome dish, isn't it? I just actually took the sesame oil to Ari to create tonight's dinner.
Well, back to Terry. What I was going to say is, I have, for years now in my practice, told people that I was blessed with probably one of the most delightful, safe, sane, loving childhoods that I have ever heard of. And I've been a therapist for 40 years, so I've heard about a lot of different kinds of childhoods. And people often say, geez, Dr. Tim, you know, you're just so wonderful at this, and how are you so good at that, and oh my gosh, I can't believe you're doing this for me, or whatever. And I say, if you had any idea how many people I've said the same thing to and presented the tools to who thought I was crazy or who didn't like the way I presented it, then you would understand how much your use of the tools is the thing that's changing your life for the better. And if you had any idea how loving and nurturing my parents were as I was growing up, you would be questioning, well, Dr. Tim, why aren't you doing more to save the planet? Because you had it so easy. You had such a good launching pad. And when I hear people like Terry, who've come from such a tumultuous and abusive past, who are willing to take full responsibility in the moment, whether they're a teenager or a young adult or a mature adult, for what they can do now, since I can't go back and change the past, it just lights up a special place inside of me that I'm awed when I hear people like Terry and Michael Coughlin and Brad out in Colorado talk about using these tools and making their lives better. You guys are my heroes.
Hey. And to me, Tim, just to add to that, what takes the heroism to the next level is that each of those people is sharing it with others. You know, Michael's here now, Michael Coughlin, he's been sharing how his support group's going, and his wife, Margaret, is is carrying on with the support group in Boca Raton as we speak. And you know, Terry's picked up a support group there in Asheville, and Brad's working with combat vets. And it's just, you know, we haven't heard from Brad recently. Maybe he's on the air. He'll give us a quick call and say hello and just kind of keep us posted on what's happened. But yeah, that each of them is not only doing the work, but passing it on to others is just, you know, it's beyond my, well, it is my dream, but in a sense, it's beyond my wildest dream that so many people are picking it up and just in their own way, quietly moving it forward into others' hands. And when I first wrote the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? That's exactly the instruction I was given. I had the opportunity to go with Warner Books, and the largest publisher in the world, and I was warned not to do that intuitively, and that it would just spread from person to person, and there would be no central place that it comes from, that it's so decentralized. And, you know, people in Russia working with it, people in Germany working with it, people in Sweden working with it, Thailand, you know, it just certainly warms the cockles of my heart that so many people are doing it, benefiting from it, and sharing it with others, and working toward that creation of critical mass. Just tapping into the silence of that energy is awesome. Thank you, everybody. Terry, any additional thoughts to share?
I have an additional comment, and that was beautiful. The breeze here is blowing gently, swaying the trees. That wind that you were talking about, that elemental force, and the sun is out, and there's little clouds floating by, and the Carolina blue sky. It's just gorgeous, and tapping into that moment. Beautiful. And one of the pieces I want to share is that there was a profound integration that occurred that 8 days you were here for me. And it was a marvel. It marveled me in a bit. And that prior to that, I thought I was pretty good with it. I had some good understanding. But something happened with that last integration. And you know my history now, it's been a long time, a lot of workshops, 2 years at Heartland and all this. And then to have what would appear to be, oh, he's coming to do workshops. And, you know, we were just doing the evenings, just, you know, quote, unquote. and to have that 8 days culminate into an internalization is what happened. A deep level of internalization occurred. That's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Thank you, Mike.
Well, glad to be on the team, and it's something that can be difficult for the intellect to understand. You know, back in the ancient Aramaic, they had a phrase that they used about people who hear about it and want to get it done yesterday, and they said, you can't storm the gates. It is a process. And, you know, I've gone through many layers of that integration, and, you know, there are many layers yet to come, and when you realize that, you know, we are with our, I love what Einstein said. I actually used this quote last night in the support group. Einstein says, when compared to actuality, all of our science is primitive and childlike. When you capture, it's like he's giving us a reference point for people who engage in doing this work. Here's Einstein, considered to be one of the greatest scientific minds ever, comes up with his theory of relativity and whacks the whole scientific world, opens like doors that have never been conceived of before, and then he says, guess what, guys? We're still like children playing in the dark, primitive and childlike. And, you know, to me, what Einstein's saying is, oh my God, I got a glimpse of the universe and we don't know anything. It's like, we're just we're just scratching the surface. And so it is with living a human life. We're just scratching the surface of what's possible. And, you know, one of the challenges is to get people to stick around long enough to build the brain cells to understand that and to move forward. You know, I go back to when I first started doing this work, and the fact that I chose to be a teacher is the only reason I'm still doing this work. I was in the business world when I first started doing this. I had three businesses. I had 60 employees. I ran 19 hours a day. I was a human doing big time. 19 hours a day, 8 days a week. And then came a point where I walked away from all of that, back to school, started to learn on a new level, and started to teach this work on a full-time basis. And if I hadn't, I wouldn't be engaged in it now, and I'd be living the patterns of my forebears, which, you know, my dad did pretty well, lived a nice life. He was an awesome family man. You know, he always provided for his family. My mom was just a sweet homemaker, you know. And that's awesome. And there's a whole other level and world to be lived in. And, you know, we don't come out of what's been going on for generations and generations. We don't come out of the desert and all of a sudden we're knighted with enlightenment. It is a process of the integrations that you're talking about, Terry. So it's exciting to watch it happen and to keep moving through the layers. It's pretty awesome. So I joined you in breathing. Anything else to share? Any other way we
Terry,
can support you?
Terry actually just dropped off, so I don't know if he, you know, went out of signal or what, but we do have another hand up.
Well, let's say hello then.
Okay, it's, there we go. Computer like froze up. Okay, area code 970, you're on the air.
Hi everybody, it's Brad in Colorado.
Oh, good to hear your voice, young man. I'm glad you were on today. How do you be?
Yeah, I listen most days when I, you know, every time I have the opportunity to. Always very worthwhile, and I get a lot out of it. And I know we don't have much time today, but I kind of suffered a, I don't want to say suffer, but I experienced a kind of a setback that, you know, I have to, you know, get into my toolbox and pull out the right tools to work through it and release it and move on.
And Brad, life is still giving you opportunities to learn forgiveness? Oh my God.
Absolutely. So,
well,
but I kinda,
don't be too concerned about it. I'm still getting them too.
Yeah. Well, that's just a part of life, and it's what we do that matters.
Absolutely.
That is my challenge right now, you know, that I realize that it's been taken to a deeper level. So seize the opportunity and do the correct things with it. And I find myself coming out on the other side of it, you know, a better person, and it's not only beneficial to myself, it can also be a benefit to others as well. So.
Awesome. Is there any way we can specifically support you? Anything we can specifically assist you with?
Well, I'll tell you Monday. And, you know, as I was a board member on, you know, the veterans group here.
Right.
And I'm also a member of the group. But when we had a board meeting Monday, I showed up and I was asked to resign from the board. And I was also, my membership revoked. It was reduced to what they call an associate membership. So, and reason for that was, I know I've never talked about this, but when I was discharged from the military, I never received what they call a DD-214, which is a discharge paper that'll list your service, what you did, and terms and conditions of your discharge, et cetera, et cetera. I did not receive an honorable discharge. And it's, I don't want to get into the story, but it, you know, I was up front with this, the members in the group, right from the beginning when I joined this group. It never seemed to be a problem until last Monday. So, so now my association with that group is, you know, is, I don't know where I stand with that. You know, as you know, I tried offering the support group. The guys just, they're just not ready for it here.
Takes time to build the brain cells, Brad. It just, you know, how long did you hang out with this material before you really started to capture and get and move with it? It just takes time.
Well, I'm still working on that process, too. You know, I haven't fully integrated all of it in the right ways. So I understand that, and, you know, all I could hope to have done and accomplished there in my time there was to just plant seeds. And as you often said, you never know when they're going to sprout.
Exactly, exactly.
It could be a day or two. It could be 10, 20 years from now. You know, you never know. So I don't feel like a, you know, anything like a failure in that group. But, you know, I'm my perspectives, my thoughts, and my ways of doing things are very different from, you know, so many in that group. And it just kind of always fell on deaf ears. And but I don't have any resentment. I don't really have any anger toward that. You know, it, I'd be a liar to say that I didn't feel some disappointment in others from that, because, you know, that's where you kind of get, I guess, yourself into trouble with certain, having certain expectations. And but,
goals,
you know,
always show us, goals always show us our hidden minds. It's definitely, when I load a goal, it's going to show me those parts that need to be healed.
Yeah, so, but I did learn exactly what you told me I would learn by being there. I learned what I most needed to learn from it, and now it's taking that and moving forward with that. It's not to, you know, sit around conjuring up all these ideas in my head that I was a failure, I didn't do this right or didn't do that right, or just say this right or say that right. It has nothing to do with any of that. You know, I got in there, I gave it my best effort, and with sincerity and honesty, and it just didn't turn out, you know, as I expected, and it's not the first time.
No. So, when you say, you know, if you listen to your words, remember the quote we've used before from Shakespeare that says, "My words fly up, my thoughts remain below." And when I say I don't have anger about that, I would suggest maybe doing some worksheets on anger that lies and perhaps is the driver for the disappointment. And you might find another layer of that.
Yeah, I know there is some anger there. You know, it's you know, you can call it disappointment, but I don't think that's actually describing it.
No.
I think it has more to do with just simply being, you know, some anger.
Yeah. Well, we'll hold the space that you... Yeah, we'll hold a space that you can open and be free of that, and, you know, perhaps if we can support you anymore, if you've got the space tomorrow to call in, we're down to the last few seconds, so...
Yeah. Well, I just want to say hi, but, kind of tap in there, because we haven't talked for a while, so...
Yeah, cool. And if we can support you, I'd love to hear you on the call early tomorrow. Let's continue the conversation and see if we can help to open any more spaces with it. If that's appropriate,
okay.
We're here to do it, here to support you.
Thank you.
Okay, my brother. Appreciation, blessings, and support. And thanks for everybody who joins us. Terry, thanks for your comments and your questions. Dr. Kim. And in the meantime, bring a stranger to the show tomorrow. Create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give. Not always an easy gift to give, but it's an awesome one. Blessings.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.
Evolving continuously.